When the state of Hawaii was young, voter turnouts in the islands were among the highest in the nation. But the last few voting cycles have seen an increasingly dismal level of voter participation.
When I look at issues of civic engagement, I see it through four lenses. The first is logistics, the second, demographics, the third, politics, and the fourth, culture. So when you look at the first, logistics, those are the things that legislatures and secretaries of state can enact, whether it's online voter registration or same-day registration. There are things within the mechanics of the election system which we can do to lower the barriers to participation. The second, when you look at demographics, it's pretty well known, the political science research is out there, that the younger your voter population, they tend to turn out less. Also in places where there's significant ethnic diversity, you also see lower levels of participation. The third, when you look at politics, is this a single-party state? Are there opportunities for a state to be considered a swing state during national elections? That tends to turn out voters as well. And then finally, culture. Is there a culture of civic participation that even with those other three things being held constant, is this a place where people understand no matter what, whether it's a known election outcome or not, that we are a people who vote? And so when you look at Hawaii through those four lenses, there are things on the logistics side you've done well. I mean, you have online voter registration. Certainly, you could look at some things about same-day registration. We in California just passed automatic voter registration. When you register to get your driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote in the state. But when you look at some of the other issues of demographics, there are certainly some challenges there. When you look at politics, this is a one-party state, to be sure, but it's been that way for a long time.
Yeah.
And some of these trends on decreasing voter turnout have really only manifested themselves in the last 15 to 20 years. And then finally, culture. Is this a culture where voting is held as something to be particularly important as a responsibility? And I think there's probably some work to be done there.
All those four categories are reasons to say my vote won't make a difference. Right.
Yeah, and
that's what people say to themselves.
Right, and so the political science term for that is rational ignorance, right? that it's rational
to
be ignorant of politics if you believe that your single vote isn't really going to make much of a difference. At the same time, in looking at some of the data from Hawaii, there are local elections that are decided by 15, 20, 40 votes, right? And
yeah.
So it's certainly understandable if a Hawaiian voter says, well, my one vote's not going to make a big difference in the presidential election. But you look at some of these more local races for school boards and for council races and for even state legislative races, and your vote really does make a big difference. And I say this as a Californian who understands that even in local races, these are significant turnouts. So Hawaiians, I think, especially when you look at the more local level, there's a reason to fight that rational ignorance.
Well, if you're a young potential voter, whether you vote or not and what you vote for has an effect on the whole rest of your life.
You know,
in a way, you have more motivation to vote than an old guy who's only looking at 10, 20 years. Who cares after that, right?
Well, I think that's true. But this isn't just a Hawaiian problem. These are the national data shows that 18 to 28 cohort across the country is the one that votes less than any other age demographic. But you're so right that when you're looking at issues of education policy and tax policy, the issues that really you can deal with at a more local level, the younger voter really has a lot more on the line than those who've already had their kids go through the school system. They're
exactly.
No longer hiring people out of the education system, so on. You're absolutely right. A much better argument could be made to the younger voter that you have a lot more at stake.
But it hasn't been made or isn't getting through or, you know, what's going on?
Well, and I think in part this conversation around so much of our politics being nationalized and federalized is a challenge that when I'm speaking to groups about why people should vote, really my first commendation is to go local. Do you know who your mayor is? Do you know the difference between a city council and a school district? Because many of the issues that affect our everyday lives, from filling potholes to what our police officers do to what happens in our school systems, they're all determined at the local level. And then once you get engaged at a local level, I find that people will then begin to find out, okay, there are some things that happen in Washington that affect me locally, but you have to start locally.
In a local government office, be it an assemblyman or a city council member or that, they have a tremendous amount of interest in any constituent contact because at the level where they don't have that many, I can speak from experience, if a constituent calls a state house or senate office, they're going to get a response.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No, it's absolutely right. I mean, I'm a big believer in federalism and the understanding of subsidiarity where you push as much as you can in policymaking down to the more local level, because not only do you get a chance to customize the policy to the places where you live, but you also are much better able to hold your elected officials much more accountable.
You know, in Hawaii, a frequent path to public office is a neighborhood board.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
those are volunteer boards, and they spend a lot of time on it. And that's about a traffic light where kids cross the street on their way to school.
Yeah. No, and in Los Angeles, where I'm from, we have neighborhood councils, which was that whole process was really started because there was a time at which there were many people in parts of what was traditionally the city of Los Angeles that just felt that the city council was not adequately representing them. So they wanted to find a mechanism that more localized the decision making, and that's where neighborhood councils started. And you see there as well, in much the same process, the people that get engaged in their neighborhood council work their way into elected office. But again, those are places where the vast majority of the policy decisions that affect us on an everyday basis are made much more locally.
What you also need to make that formula work is people at the local level with an appetite for public service, which is a job that takes a lot of time and doesn't get you rich if you do it right.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's one of the things that I try to do as I get around the country to speak, is to say that we, you know, all this survey data is out there to show the declining levels of trust that we have as Americans in our governing institutions, but that one body that's still retains higher levels of trust as local government. And so in that, you know, finding the people that are willing to throw their hat in the ring. I ran for office myself in an ill-fated statewide campaign in California back in 2014. It's a tremendous experience and one that is a freedom we really should realize. So I'm encouraging people all the time to get involved in elected politics, even if they have a big full-time job and they're doing something else or they're doing things with their family. The decisions that affect their lives are really often determined more locally, and it's worth engaging there.
When you ran for office, you ran into the issues of campaign funding and campaigning and just how to make the engine run, didn't you?
I did. I was outspent 8-1 in my race, and I had never run for office before, and had run against someone who had been in politics for most of his career. And I learned firsthand the advantages that incumbents, he wasn't an incumbent to the office, but he was an incumbent in the sense that he had been in elected office for about 15 years or so. There really are advantages to seeing your career as one of being a career politician, so to speak. You build relationships in fundraising, certainly special interest. You have those relationships as well. And those all played a role in my race. But what I would say as well is that we're entering a unique time in American politics where, whether it's our president or the great campaign that Bernie Sanders ran, that outsiders are being considered more seriously. And I think in this time that outsiders who don't have those relationships, who aren't sort of tarred and feathered by those relationships, are being taken more seriously by voters.
Well, let's hope that voters take them more seriously in return. Right?
Yes, yeah. And I think they will. I mean, I think really we're in a time where people who have not been involved in politics, that there's this, I really don't think it's a sustainable path that we're on when we look at the data about declining levels of trust. When you look at how we view Washington, D.C. or our state governments, I just don't think it's sustainable. And I think increasingly outsiders who have just become fed up with the system are going to step in the arena. I heard last night that they're in this 18 election here in Hawaii, there are going to be some outsiders, first-timers that are running. And I see that increasingly happening around the country, whether it's local level or state level. And I encourage people to really consider, again, running for office. And I think voters are more open to looking at people who have private sector experience or nonprofit experience and are passionate and serious and authentic about the issues they care about.
Pete Peterson is the dean of Pepperdine University School of Public Policy. Prior to this, he served as executive director of the Davenport Institute for Public Engagement and Civic Leadership at Pepperdine, where he remains a senior fellow. He was the 2014 Republican nominee for California Secretary of State.